Welcome to Mimiki TV. Get ready to break through barriers, fuel your faith, pursue your purpose, and market your message so you can impact the marketplace for God.
Hi everyone, it's Mimika Cooney, and welcome to a live edition of Mimika TV, the podcast. I'm so excited today because we are trying something new with technology. Hopefully it behaves, and we are streaming live on YouTube and Facebook simultaneously. So hopefully you're getting to see all of this and watch us online. Today's guest, I have a duo today, which is so exciting, a mother and daughter duo. We have Blythe Daniel and her mom, Dr. Helen McIntosh, who are going to chat to us today about their book they co-wrote. And I'm so excited about this because, first of all, I love the mother and daughter theme. I'm a mom with two daughters and a son. And what I love to hear about these stories is that Blythe and I met a couple of years ago, probably about 3 years ago, at a writer's conference. And it's so nice to see that someone who actually helps other authors has finally become an author herself. So I'm so proud of you. So welcome, Blythe and Helen. So happy to have you here today.
Thanks. Thank you so much. It's so great to see you and what you're able to do, Mimika. And just thank you for having us.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So it's so fun to have both of you chatting today. Because really, I mean, I've now written since we chatted, I've probably published about another 6 books by myself. And I know how much work that is, but having to do it with someone else just creates double the work, right? Because there's the back and forth, and then it's the editing, and then it's, you know, how many revisions we need to do. And, you know, I've always say to people, writing a book is like having a baby. It's all exciting in the beginning, and then the nausea sets in, and then you're like, oh my gosh, and it just like feels like the middle never wants to end. And then you have the pain at the end when you birth this baby and all that effort to publish it. So congrats on that. It's so exciting. So before we get chatting to about the juicy bits in the book, tell us a little bit about your story and, you know, why you even decided to do this.
So we had started talking about writing a book, I would say probably, you know, a year or so before we actually started the process. And, you know, really, Mimika, as you know, I am so focused on helping writers identify a need with what they want to write about. And so Mom and I had sensed that there was a real need for mothers and daughters to address those awkward places between them. And we were hearing friends talk about their journeys with their mothers and daughters. And we ourselves had worked on some areas of our relationship that we felt like we could be helpful towards gaining some ideas and stories and putting those together for an audience that might be interested in hearing how we have maneuvered mother-daughter conversations. And so we put our thoughts together, and thankfully there was a publisher that was really wanting to take this message and help mothers and daughters, because, you know, there are a number of books out there where they really don't talk kindly to each other as mothers and daughters. And so we wanted to, while addressing the hard topics, also come at it from an honoring posture and a way to create positive reinforcements in the relationship rather than be nagging towards each other. That doesn't go anywhere, does it?
Yes, we long to give people some healing words for their broken relationships. And it has been an honor to do that. There's so many broken dreams and broken conversations out there. And it's a wonderful way to begin.
That's great. And what's fabulous is that, you know, obviously you're not like a mother and daughter of a teenager. You clearly have had some experience, which is great. And that's what I find it's so lovely, is that you've been through what I call the seasons of your relationship, right? Like, yes. I mean, my eldest is 21, my youngest is 10, and these are different seasons in every stage of their growth. So it's nice that you can see, you can have that relationship and that you can look back and now say, you know, this is what we've learned together. And this is how we feel. This is really useful because now, you know, I know, Blythe, you're a mother too. So kind of like paying it forward, I suppose, if you want to put it that way. So yeah, that's exciting. So let's take us back to the beginning of the whole. So we know your motivation, but tell us a little bit about the concepts of the book. Because you mentioned, you said there was, you know, there's some resources out there, but they sort of don't meet that felt need. So tell us, talk a little bit about that and what you felt was so powerful in incentivizing you to write it.
Well, you know, mother-daughter relationships can be beautiful relationships, but we know that many of them are wrought with pain and difficulties because of how they've started out or how they've ended up. And so we know that God's design is for mothers and daughters to be close. He designed you to be the mother of your children and others who are listening, the mothers of their children. And so we knew that there was a better way than some of the things that we were hearing about in the world. And so it was really just trying to look at, you know, what does God say about restoration? What does his word say about how do you mend places that are broken and torn between you? And if we go back to Isaiah 58:12 and Isaiah 61:4 talk about how God desired for his nation, Israel, to be restored. There were breaches. And if you look at that term breaches, it means there was a break. And so God desired that there would be addressing those breaches and those breaks in the relationships with his own children. So how much more should we take those breaches in our conversations and relationships and mend those? And how do we do that? And so that's really the foundation for the book that we really didn't see being addressed beyond the he said, she said, you know, all relationships book have that, but even between mothers and daughters, it can be arguments and argumentative and defensive. And we just didn't want that to be the overriding principles of what we shared, that we really come at it from an opposite posture, wouldn't you say,
right,
of humility?
It's, we want to help with the restart, the refresh. And we've given lots of, we call them relationship starters or conversation starters in the book, following a similar pattern, but it's a way for either the mother or the daughter to take the initiative and extend in humility a conversation. Shall we give one right now?
Yes, go for it.
Yes, go ahead. I'd love to get into some of our tips while we're taking notes.
So it would sound something like this. I know we're not doing well right now. What do you think we need to do to make things better? Or a second one might be, What do you need to see from me or hear from me for us to start over or to start in a better place? And so do you hear us pitching some gentle words to the other one and letting them start? You're starting the conversation, starting the negotiation, but you're basically asking them what they think it might take to make things better. It's just, it's part of that soft answer turns away wrath. It's, and honestly, the more mature spiritually, the person is in a great place to initiate restoration, even though let's say the other person has done 95% in arrears, but you who may have only done 5% wrong in the relationship, you're in the strongest place to initiate. And we're not asking people to go decades back, although we know there's layers and layers of difficulty and history in broken relationships, but you can start today, mm-hmm. and just with those simple words, begin again.
I love it how it's like as you said, it's more of a stance of humility instead of, because I think a lot of us, our first defense is to get defensive, right? We want to state our case. We want to make sure that we know everybody knows we're right because we assume everybody thinks like us. And I love how you take the stance. It's almost like, okay, how can I help you? And it doesn't even relate just to mothers and daughters. I think it relates to any relationship we have.
Yes.
Kind of like taking that, well, let me hear from you and what I'm hearing you say is this, right? And, you know, Helen, you are an actual doctor of psychology, correct? So you're actually taking this not just as a relational, but you understand the psychological aspect of it. So, you know, I think that's awesome. So what would you say, like, if someone has initiated this conversation, and I think this is a great conversation starters for any age group and any stage. What would you say, they've opened the conversation, then what would you advise the next step be?
I think the next one would be, you know, I'm not trying to change a person, either you or me, but the relationship. You know, the longing of my heart is for our relationship to be restored and healed and move forward. And, you know, we have encouraged people to either write things out in a letter or an email or create a video or a text. There's so many different modern ways of communicating, even FaceTime. But in other words, just that those first couple of sentences are really a complete conversation. And then you wait for the response, and then you can make another step or two and another response. We do put in the book a lot of wonderful principles, counseling principles, such as not controlling the conversation and not bursting forth with opinions without asking for permission. We really encourage people, the initiator, to invite themselves in. You know, may I share a concern I have about us, et cetera. So there are a lot of principles that we share to venture further into the mess.
And I'm just keeping the conversation going, right?
But they're quite simple. What would you want to add, darling?
Yeah, I think too, I mean, you know, we all look at boundaries around us that we've created. Some of those are healthy and some are not. So even just like, what is the difference between a healthy boundary and what would be trying to live your life too closely through a daughter or through a mother and trying to control. So we look at what are those healthy boundaries, and then how to create a safe places for conversation and safe conversations, and then to even be able to walk away by saying to the person, I don't know that I'm going to be able to address this right now, but let's come back to it in a week, or let's come back to it in a few days. Being able to not press too much to shut down the conversation. If you start to see it going in a difficult direction, to be able to bring it back to the relationship instead of trying to solve everything in one conversation. So I think some real practical ways to help people, we call it getting untangled or getting unstuck from where you are in a conversation, or even if you've not spoken in a while. I mean, we've met women that haven't spoken with a mother or daughter in a while. That's so painful.
It is.
And you've been able to, you know, kind of help them through, where do I even begin?
Right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the thing, is we're talking about things that could have happened yesterday or a decade ago. So exactly. I think that's awesome. But for those who have just joined us, let me just introduce my guests. I apologize. I forgot to do this beginning. I'm so excited just to get into the conversation. So for those who just joined us on Facebook or YouTube Live, we are talking to Blythe Daniel, who is a literary agent and marketer, and she's a speaker at many writers' conferences and writes for Christian Retailing and Focus on the Family publications. We are joined by her lovely mother, Dr. Helen McIntosh, who is a counselor, speaker, and educator and author, and they have written the book called Mended, which is, we are talking about mending relationships. And what I love about this is they're a mother-daughter duo, which is totally fabulous, but what the concepts we're talking about really do relate to any type of relationship. So now we have talked about how we have these conversation starters. So Blythe, from your perspective, once you've opened that book and that sort of that conversation, what did you feel was really helpful for you in helping to move you forward to that next step?
Right. So when my mom has come to me, so when I was a new mom, I had a daughter, and then 2 years later had twins. Can you imagine? new mom, like no experience. And so mom was in a good place to not say, Blythe, you should do this, or you should think about this. She asked me, she said, is it okay if I make a suggestion? And I was able to say, yeah, I think so. Or I could say, maybe not right now, but later. And I actually did say, I think I said, no, not right now, because I didn't want to appear like I didn't know what I was doing. And so I think too, as a point for all this, that we often don't want to be seen, as you said earlier, Mimica, we don't want to be seen as being wrong or not knowing. And, you know, that could signal to the person, you know, you're not doing it right. Now, I didn't feel that from mom, but I could have. And so I think it's just helpful to just, if, you know, the next step, when that person asks that conversation, starts a conversation and says, you know, can I make a suggestion? You have a choice to say yes or no. And you might feel like at that point you're not open to it, but you can say, but I will let you know if I need you to come alongside and help, or some way to acknowledge the conversation between you, even if you don't feel like instantly saying, yes, let's work this out. Or I want to hear what you have to say. So I think it's just consciously being able to keep the conversation going and like, you know, maybe now's not a good time. Well, then the other person can say, well, when would be a good time for us to come back to this conversation? Or, you know, we want to be right. And I think that's the hardest part between mothers and daughters, is that we have a hard time hearing a no, not now is not a good time. And I think that we need to kind of take out that personal part of it and not feel like the person is attacking us or mm-hmm. thinking we're not doing something right. But just to say most people really want to be helpful, and they want to have a good relationship. They just don't always have the tools or know how to say it. And I think we shut down sometimes instead of kind of keeping that door open for more restoration between us, more repair between things that we've said to each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
And would you say that perhaps maybe, because I know with, as a mom myself, and when I remember those hormonal days when you have a baby and you're very sensitive, you're like, oh gosh, I don't want to deal with this. Would you say there's almost like a mental shift? Because in relationships, you know, when you're the parent and the child is, you know, 18 or under, it's almost like we're in an authoritative position. Like, you're going to do this because I'm training you. But then it comes to a stage in life when I think they become young adults, they leave home, go to college, get married. There's a mental shift. And I've seen, you know, even in my own relationship with my mom, in that we've had to work through those. Like, I've had to realize, okay, she's coming from that nurturing aspect. But then she also had to learn, we're past the stage of her telling me what to do. It's more, like you said, it's more of a suggestion, right? So what do we do for those relationships where, say, we're still stuck in the old, like, the old theme of things, and that the daughter keeps getting defensive every time mom wants to suggest anything, even though, and then mom gets upset because she thinks that she's being rejected, and there's a lot of like lost in translation, like, if, and then they don't talk to each other. So how do we understand that? I mean, do you suggest maybe bringing in a third party, or how do we navigate that sort of hostile environment and bringing back to them both understanding each other?
Well, you've described the mess really well. And as we attempt to mean well and to be helpful, it breeds so much control. And that's what feels so icky, I believe. And I introduced a new word. I made up a new word for our book, and it's called overlove. Technically, I guess it would be being a helicopter parent, but overlove shows up in so many places. It comes from a good heart of wanting to be helpful and care for your children, even adult children, of course. And yet it really misses the mark when it's unwanted. And so I really encourage people to invite themselves in, whether it's the mother or the daughter. But when you're giving and advice, especially as an adult to an adult, although I really encourage mothers of small children to even do it, is to say, may I please share a concern I have with you? Or may I please, I've had an idea, may I share it? How many times do you think I've said that to you over the years? Yeah. Hundreds of times, but it honors the other person. And it gives them that opportunity to feel in charge and to welcome or not welcome the information. And usually that it is welcome, but it's just good practice.
So kind of like where the mom's or the daughter's like, my mother keeps butting in, and she keeps interfering, and the daughter's upset. The mom's like, why is she not, you know, I'm trying to help her. Clearly, can't she see that she's doing this wrong? And I love how your concept of overlove, the helicopter parent. And I know I've had to correct myself over the years and realize, like, I've already said to my eldest, I apologize in advance. You're my guinea pig. You didn't come with instructions. I had to learn this the hard way. So we've had to learn this as we've gone along, right? And just kind of like learning from these mistakes. So not all of us have the benefit of a awesome psychology background and training. And a lot of us are like, oh, losing patience.
For decades.
When we have, Exactly right. So in that situation, like, especially when there is like maybe an old wound, can you give us a little bit of tips? Because I've seen many relationships where it's almost like they keep this conversation on a superficial level. No one really wants to talk about the big elephant in the room. So how do we address that?
Oh, that's one of my favorite counseling books in the world, The Elephant in the Living Room. And it is so healthy for families to talk. But many families have a no talk rule because it's been so messy or so painful. But a good starter would be to say or write, or, you know, in other words, the vehicle of your choice, but somehow communicate to the other one that you'd like to begin to talk about such and such, the messy places in the relationship. Again, that you're not trying to control or change them, but you would like the relationship to get healthier. And would it be okay to talk about X, to talk about such and such, and sort of float the topic before you enter the muddy ground?
Mm-hmm. And I think too, we've done this as a family. When we've even come up with like, what are some of our family mottos or what are some of our family practices? And so we have our kids help make those up, and that could be young adults or smaller kids, because when kids feel a part of the decision making and when they feel part of the solution, they're much more likely to join in than if it were to come from the top down, like, right, a parent saying, we will do this and we will have family time. Like, no kid wants to enter into that. But like, when you ask your family members, even older daughters, that, you know, what would be a win for you? What would feel good and look good if we were to have, you know, this is part of our family structure, or these are our family rules or our family, you know, the goals. And so bringing them in to make suggestions, boy, people love feeling they have something to say and something to offer. And it's really healthy for their relationship to do that.
Maybe I could share a school model that maybe your listeners and watchers recognize. When I was school counselor at an elementary school for years, I just nearly begged the teachers to please not pull out their poster of their rules, you know, the sit down, be quiet, all that. I said, because the children are really going to feel rebellious to those ideas and not feel a part. But instead, would you consider, see, did you hear how I asked them instead of told the teachers what to do? I said, would you consider sitting in a circle on the floor with your students and inviting them to say what they want to see in the room and what they don't want to have happen, how they want to share things, how they don't want to share, et cetera, et cetera. And then I said, let's call these agreements. And it just worked beautifully. And so when the something didn't happen well in the room, the teacher would simply say, instead of having a meltdown, she would say, class, what did we as a class make as an agreement about sharing or about other things? Anyway, the point is made that, as Fly said, if people are given an opportunity to enter the process, it works beautifully.
I love that. It's like giving them ownership. It's kind of like they feel like they're part of it. And then, you know, then they like take pride in it. I've noticed that even with my 10-year-old, it's like even inviting her to come and help me with dinner instead of like, thou shalt do dinner with me today. She's like, vomit, no mom. I'm like, how about we do this together? What would you think would be a good idea? And even making suggestions like, what would you feel like for dinner, let's vote on it, having her involved. And then all of a sudden, I don't get as many complaints about, ew, I don't like this, because she's part of the decision process.
Right.
And I think especially for us modern parents who were raised by maybe very sort of strict parents who were more like, you know, children are seen and not heard. And, you know, this is kind of like how the rules are. I think it is a big shift in the way that parenting has evolved, which is great to be able to bring the generations together, having more of a community-driven sort of feel to families instead of, like you said, like the top to the bottom, right? It's not this hierarchy anymore.
That's right.
Although the parents are still in charge, we know that.
That's right. We're not friends. We're their parents. But
and
right,
wouldn't you say this all really comes down to respect, respecting each other?
Yes. it's very respectful. And I wanted to be respectful of Blythe as she made the jump to college. Do you want to share that conversation?
Yes. You know, it's really important to put yourself in a place where your children can honor you and their relationship. And so what my mom did for me when I went off to college, and we had had some, I had separated myself some from her that year because I wanted to be ready for college. I wanted to go. And I did put some distance in our relationship, which I know was hurtful for mom. At the end of that school year, right before I was going off to college, mom did say, you know, I don't want to be controlling of you. And if you feel control in any way, I need you to come and tell me. But what that did was give me the opportunity to say, that feels like control, mom, or, oh, I see you. Because she had grown up with a controlling mother, a mother who, you know, expressed love to her in some ways, and then in a lot of ways expressed a lot of control over her. So she knew what the control felt like. And so she's been writing, as we've written this book, she's been coming at it from someone who grew up with a lot of verbal messages and put downs and control. And so she wanted to do things differently in our relationship. And I think as daughters like you and I, Mimica, at our ages, and as we're bringing daughters and sons up, we have the opportunity, all of us, to do things differently. We don't have to repeat the patterns that have been done to us. Not a lot of daughters have healthy relationships with their mothers because of the woundings their mothers received. Right. And so we just want to say that you have the opportunity to do things differently, to ask God to help you in your parenting, to give you a new lens and a new conversation and new words to share with your daughter and your son so that they don't have to grow up the way that you did.
I love that. That's how we can change things, right? It's just having a new conversation. And I also think it's a lot of times it's putting our pride in our pocket and saying, okay, I know I didn't do this right. Let's start again and not have that defense of, you know, whether it's sons and fathers and mothers and daughters, you know. I think, you know, this, it's so important that we are in a time in the world where relationships really are key. And it's important we put that time and effort and really prayerfully and, you know, humbly approach the situation. We're like, we're willing to change it. So I'm so excited about that. So if you had to, looking at the book and all of everything we talked about, what sort of takeaway tip could you give our audience to think about today?
Well, I believe that would be how God longs for us to be healthy and to have healthy relationships. And so the principles that we have offered are a distinct way to move a relationship towards a healthier place, whether it's forgiving the one that has hurt you so much, or and we do include some words in the book to, it's a way to ask forgiveness. Well, I'll just spit it out right now. And that would be, I am so sorry for the this and this and this that I have done in our relationship. I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? So it's just quite simple. If that is part of the broken places in the relationship, but we lovingly offer to your listeners the many conversation, dozens and dozens of conversation starters that would be something like, I'm not sure what we need to do to heal our relationship, but what do you think we need to do to make things better? Those kind of sentences we offer as healing tools so that things can move and things move along.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love that. It's very actionable. And I'm sure it's one of those books that you'll get a highlight out.
I know, get out that yellow marker.
Let me try this one. And it's amazing a result, right?
Yes.
Exactly, right?
And there are things that we have
done. How we can
done.
Connect with you.
Okay. Yeah, and the things that we have done too.
Okay, tell us about that.
So we speak from experience of we aren't just suggesting these things, but we would love for people to check out the resources that we have. The conversation starters, there's a sample on our website, which is rourmendedhearts.com. So it's rourmendedhearts.com. We're also on Facebook. Blythe Daniel and Helen McIntosh, and on Instagram. So we would love to hear from you. We thank you, Mimica, for just your support of us and mothers and daughters. And we thank you for supporting our book, Mended.
I'm very impressed. And I had a look at the website the other day and you got some great resources there. So I definitely would recommend everybody go and check out Our Mended Hearts. And more of the links will be in the show notes as well. So no matter what platform you're watching or listening on, make sure to scroll on that. So we'll have all those links for Helen and Blythe so you can connect and make sure you tell them that you heard and saw them on Mamika TV. We love to connect our guests with our listeners. And just to know that, you know, the content's valuable and what we're hearing is really useful, especially in today's world. So if you enjoyed what you had to hear today, make sure to share it with your friends. You can go and click that reshare button and also leave your comments. We'd love to hear any comments, aha moments. You know, this is an interactive process and we would love to know, you know, what you think about this conversation. And as well as, you know, make sure to subscribe if you are listening on Facebook. Make sure to click to follow the page on YouTube, subscribe and click that little notification button. We would love to be able to hear more from you. But I've got to say thank you so much, Blythe and Helen, for joining me today. It's been a delight having two of you, which has been so super fun. So I've got to say thank you again and everyone for listening today. Make sure to check them out. Any last words?
Thank you so much for the opportunity. We are really passionate about mothers and daughters and the healing that, as you mentioned, in our culture, we're so in need of good relationships, and we agree with that, and we want to help be a part of the solution.
Definitely.
We do. We understand what brokenness feels like, and what we're saying is that they don't have to share even the same opinions. This is a day and time when there's great difference of opinion, but you can work on the relationship and the relationship can be better. It can.
Definitely. There is hope for all of us. And if you want more resources, come and follow me on mamikakuni.com. I actually have links to a free book called Mindset Makeover to really help you get to that stage as well. Because sometimes we have to be in the right mindset to deal with these issues, right? So definitely go ahead and click on the link to the show notes. We are going to set you up with a whole bunch of goodies that you are sure to love. But I say thanks again, everyone, for joining us. And Helen and Bayard as well. So fabulous to connect. Until next time.
Thank you.
Bye.